This is Dave Glowatz. I'm speaking with Ben Jarofsky. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
We're talking about your column that appeared in The Reader on December 10th, 2009, which is entitled Shedding Light on the Shadow Budget. And you wrote this article with Mick Dumke.
The great Mick Dumke. We call him the Hammer, Mick the Hammer Dumke.
Was that his mob name?
Yes, it's my name, my affectionate nickname for him.
If you were in the mob.
Yes, which I'm not.
This article is a result of your request to the city for its itemization of its off-budget budget, namely the revenue gotten from tax increment financing districts, which our listeners can listen about in other broadcasts that we've done.
Just randomly choose any and you'll probably find us talking about TIFs.
Though I would call listeners' attention to one of the inaugural broadcasts, which was November of '07, where we talk about your article, TIFs for Dummies.
Right. Brilliant. That was an excellent discussion.
So it might be the primer or primer, if you will.
Right.
So we won't go into the basics of TIF districts
okay,
here.
But mercifully.
But your article does talk about the off-budget budget you were able to get from the city and your analysis, your and Mick's analysis of it that reveals, among other things, the huge disparity between development investment in or near the central business district and that of wards on the south and west sides. One of the things that occurred to me right away is if the south and west sides have so much potential, so much opportunity for development because it's been neglected in that way for so long, why would the city throw money at already well-developed areas? Does the city make, for example, the argument that these areas have a much higher potential yield in terms of jobs created and real estate taxes generated?
Okay, you are being very logical. You're looking for a logical explanation for an illogical program. The city's throwing money at these deals because there are big-time developers with contacts in the city to get the money thrown at the deals. There's no overriding governing principle that is set in place to use this program effectively and efficiently so that we're not wasting taxpayers' dollars. It's patronage. It's just pinstripe patronage. It's just money to the well-connected. It's not like somebody's sitting there figuring out what's the most effective way to use our limited resources to build our undeveloped neighborhoods. Why are we pouring money into the loop? Isn't it possible that the developers who are there already will put their own money, absent our incentives, into the loop? Or if we are going to sink money in the loop, what is the most effective way to do it? Should we kick it over to the project I talk about, the Ogilvy Transportation French Market? Why in the world do we need a French market in the Ogilvy Transportation Center?
Did we have a French market then?
No, we did not. So is it worth $12 million to have a French market? Think about all the things we need in the city of Chicago. Wait, here's Mayor Daley calling me. Anyway, I get started on these things and I get really going, but the fact of the matter is there is no logical answer to your question. And if the city of Chicago, some spokesman or flunky, were sitting here, they would try to say, well, that no developer would go to the Ogilvy Transportation Center without a subsidy, and that this market is eventually going to bring in so much commerce and so much taxes that'll more than pay for itself. You can't even prove that because it starts from the assumption that nobody would go there if you didn't give them a TIF. Well, I don't believe that. I believe that the TIF is just given without even answering, addressing that issue. You know, one of the side points in this whole thing is how, as I explore these TIF development deals, so many of the people who are getting TIF funds for all sorts of projects all over the city are regular donors to Alderman Ed Burke, who's the chairman of the Finance Committee, and he's the alderman of the 14th Ward. I think he's only had one opponent in his entire stay, which goes back to 1969. So we're talking about 40 years. He's had one opponent, and that was in the last election. So it's just overkill. They just pour money into this guy's campaign treasure chest, and I just think it's just so indicative of how our system works. It's just money flowing in and out, and somehow or other, if you really know how to play the game, you're the beneficiary.
Well, speaking of aldermen, you wrote that South and West Side aldermen haven't questioned the inequity of the TIF spending in their wards. I presume that you believe that these other aldermen, as you quote Alderman Allen saying, fear getting cut off from the trough of TIF funds.
Yes. I think that, we've discussed this in the past. There's a couple of issues at play. I'm actually going to be writing about this next week, but there's a couple of issues at
teaser alert.
A couple of issues at play when it comes to aldermen and how they vote on TIFs or how they address the issue. The first one is that they are afraid about getting cut off. You know, as I've said many times, they sort of view each TIF deal as a zoning amendment. If the local alderman wants it, they support it, because when it's their turn to get a TIF deal, they want all the other aldermen to support it as well. They're not looking at the greater picture, which is that this is a program that's tilted to favor a handful of wards at the expense of all the others. And then, of course, there's the second point, which is they don't really understand how the program works. And the third point, I guess, is just not in their political nature to defy Mayor Daley in any way. So you bring all three of those factors together, and we have the current state that we do with the West and Southside aldermen.
The fact that they're not inclined to oppose the mayor, you've written that half a dozen aldermen have confided in you that they have gotten threats from the administration that, you know, if you oppose us on this particular vote, we're going to cut you off for money on this. I'm curious, what are the mechanics of that sort of threat that you've heard?
Well, it's not just so much the threat will cut you off. Aldermen have told me that they've been threatened. It's also the reward. In other words, if you vote our way, we maybe swing a TIF deal your way. I've heard that more often than the threats. So it's a combination of things. I think implicit in the offer is the threat that the offer will be withdrawn. So I think it works two ways. So that's generally how it works. I mean, I've had aldermen tell me that mayoral legislative aides have come to them in the city council, in the chambers, and talk, you know, what do you need type stuff, and we can make this work. And then, of course, this whole project where Mick and I have been studying the so-called shadow budget began when we got wind from several aldermen that the administrative aides have been meeting with them to talk about TIF projects and their wards and to sort of win their support for the overall program by letting them see how the city was spending the TIF dollars in their wards. So someone told me this. When I heard this, I said, well, can I see the budget? They gave you a budget? They gave you an item? Like, can I see this? And that's when we started picking up bits and pieces of the budget, which we finally got the whole thing.
When do you think that started happening?
I don't know an exact date, but informally, several aldermen said they can recall it for the last couple of years. The point is, there's a database in City Hall that shows how much TIF dollars are being collected and where exactly they're being spent and on what items. And that database is developed enough that you can do a breakout of TIF spending ward by ward. I'm sure it's neighborhood by neighborhood, community by community. You could probably do it by congressional districts. You can ask the computer to break it down any way you want. Now, the first step is that the city has given us a snapshot of the citywide budget, just TIF by TIF. They haven't given it to us in a ward by ward form. They haven't given us the raw data so that we could then play around with it with our computers. So it's one step at a time with these folks.
The data that they did give you presumably was redacted in some way.
Yes, sir.
What they removed, as I recall, the names of developers to whom money was going?
Yeah, well, they removed the names of the projects and the developers, yeah. Their argument was that if a project had not been approved by the city council but was only in the proposal stage, then we should not be able to see it, which is interesting because the alderman got to see it. So why the alderman got to see it, it's not like, you know, it's our money too. See, this gets to the point. The aldermen were given 2 days to vote on the parking meter deal, right? Mayor Daley said, what are you talking about? We were talking about that deal 7 months ago. Yeah, but you didn't show the proposal to anybody, you know? So they could say, you know, down the road, if they spent a week voting on some incredibly extravagant TIF expenditure, well, we've been planning that for 2 years. Yeah, but you didn't show it to anybody. There was no public debate. This is how we do things in the city of Chicago. My basic point has always been, we're an enormously wealthy city, and we're coming off a great run from the 90s and in the early 00s, and we've hit a wall, at least in terms of economics. We just waste so much money. We do things so inefficiently that now we're really in some terrible straits.
Well, it seems to me that this is the beginning of yet another chapter of this story, and we'll be watching it develop as time goes on.
Yes, sir.
Well, Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining us today.
Peace out.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.